everyone. It's Donna Fox. Well, I am back in Cleveland, and I'll tell you, I was gone for 3 weeks, and I had the most amazing, amazing time. And if you remember, if you've been listening, I started out in San Diego, and then I went to Portland. Actually, I went to, I flew into Portland, then I went to a place called Astoria, Oregon, and then I came back, and I went to Salem, Oregon, and then I went back to San Diego on the Monday, and then I came home on Tuesday. Anyway, so long trip, wonderful trip. I want to thank a bunch of people, and I want to say hello to a bunch of people. First of all, I want to say hello and a big thank you to Lynn in Encinitas for staying at her beautiful house. With the beautiful view and the beautiful room and her sweet little doggy and Jazzy. And we want to say a big thank you to Lynn. And we want to say a big thank you to Lori Rayon for sponsoring me in. And to all the students that were there for the Level 1 and Level 2 Akashic Records workshop in the Encinitas area. And I want to say hello to the Controversial Bookstore, who hosted me for a lecture there, and to Mariah, who also at her home had me there, Mariah Bush. So a big thank you and a big hello to all of you. And here's the exciting thing is things are going so well in San Diego, and what could not go well in beautiful San Diego, that I'm actually going to go back, and I want to give you guys a big heads up on this one. On October 30th and 31st, yes, that is Halloween weekend, I am going back to San Diego to teach a Level 1. Mark your calendars, and if you are so inclined, that's the date you want to put in your calendar, October 30th and 31st. And for those people who have been looking for a spectacular Level 2, I have a very interesting proposal. We're going to do Level 2 November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Each class will last, each day will be 7 hours of class. But the best part is the optional day will be an optional fourth day for whoever wants to, and that'll be on a Thursday. And what we're going to do is now in my classes for Level 2, I teach you how to access the records of other people with their permission, access the land with the permission of the owners, unless it's public land, and you're paying taxes on it, and how to access the records, the Akashic records of animals. And so the optional fourth day is we are looking into and trying to arrange Akashic record field trip. And our Akashic Record field trip will either be to the Wild Animal Park there in, I think it's in Encinitas near there, or to the San Diego Zoo. And to see, now what will happen is we will all by that time, this Level 2 people will have had the opportunity to open up the records of other animals, you know, in the class. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go to these public parks and we're going to see if the animals there will allow us to open up their Akashic records and we'll be able to answer any questions and really communicate with these animals at a very high level to their soul. And so if that's at all of interest to you, if you'd really want to say, wow, that's the kind of thing I want to do in my life. I want to be able to open up the Akashic records of animals. Then you need to get to a Level 1, at least 30 days before November 1st. And one of the ways you can do that is you can come to Cleveland. I'm going to be doing a Level 1 class here in Cleveland in August, and August 14th and 15th. And so if you'd like to come to that, you're certainly welcome to do so. There's a special price on that particular class because it's an August special pricing, so you'll need to call me and talk to me personally about registering for that. And you can call me on my private number. It's 216-691-1233. That's my private office number for any kind of special inquiries. But tonight, I really want to talk to you. I just love talking to you. We had a great time. I won't forget Portland. I'm going to say hello to Portland in a second, but I want to give you the number to call in. First of all, we want to call in to talk and ask questions tonight at 415-762-1161. That's the BBS radio call-in number. Now, I want to say a big thank you to our Portland people. First of all, I want to say a big, wonderful hello and a big thank you to Dijon and to her mom, Valerie, and to her husband, Ted, and to all the people who not only took the classes, but also that were at the lectures. We want to say a nice hello and a thank you to Tea Party Bookstore, who is in the process of changing their names, and we wish them well with that. And when I know it's okay, we'll advertise that name on the air. And then we want to say a big thank you and a hello to the Home Center in Salem, Oregon. It's a New Thought Church, and we wish them well and blessings, and may your congregation increase 100-fold. And so I want to say a big hello and thank you, and then especially I want to say hello to Demetra. Nothing like butchering your name. To Demetra. And because Demetra is going to be doing some very special work for me, she's going to be redesigning my website. So it won't be an old website anymore. It's going to be new, and that's because of Demetra. Now, so I'll keep you apprised as to what's going on. But in the meantime, if you would like to email me and sign up for the upcoming messages from the Akasha or my global a global point of view, or if you would just like to be on my event list, just email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And that's just the same name as the show, but it's info@akashicwisdom.com. So, okay, one more thank you to the Oregon folks, a couple of them. I want to say thank you to Linda and Roger because of their wonderful hospitality, and thank you very much, and their connections. And I want to say a big thank you to Jenny at the Alabaster Jar, and another big thank you to Donna out there at the Cannery Pier Hotel. And it was a great experience. It really was. We had a great time. Oh, and of course, Dusty. We want to say hello to Dusty as well. And all the people who came and enjoyed and had a chance to be a part of it. And say hello to Jane and everybody else out there. Okay, I think if I've forgotten anybody, I apologize. But you know you're in my heart, and a big thank you to all those folks that were on my list of places to go, people to meet, and things to do. And also, oh, you know what else? I told you last week I went to this great church called the Celebration Church in I think it's in Wilsonville, and it was with Reverend Barry Dennis. He was pretty great. I'd love to have him on the show. Okay, I guess that's done. Now, we have a couple of questions that have been emailed, and remember, you can call in your questions. Again, that telephone number for BBS Radio to call in is 415-762-1161. And remember, this program is as rich and interesting as your questions. Or you can email them to me. You can email your, I'm right at my computer, so I can see your questions. And you can email them to info@akashicwisdom.com. And I think that I said thank you to Lorianne. She does those wonderful boat trips out there. And Joanne for letting me stay at her house. And she's got a great pyramid. Oh, my God, that was just amazing. Anyway, oh, and one more thank you to Rachel Paddock. She is a healer extraordinaire. I've got to tell you, I'll give you her information. And she, you know, after all that traveling and walking around airports, my poor body was stiff, and she really helped me on Monday walk without a limp. I got to tell you, it was great. So Rachel Paddock, she's in she's in the San Diego area, and she's a great healer. So give her a call, or if you call me or email me, I can get you her information. Okay, so let's go to our questions here. Now, Lucita is always good for questions, okay? And she's indicated a question. And by the way, we have to tell BBS Radio that if, in fact, you have friends that can't access through their computers, that they can actually listen on the telephone to the show. So if you are interested or you want to give somebody a call and say, hey, I know you can't, you're not on your computer, but you can call in, there is a login number. Now, let me just see if I can find that. I've got to find it on the website. I thought I had it. Let me just see. I know that here it is. If you would like to listen to the program, here, take this down. If you've got friends that want to listen into this program while it's going on live, they can listen in only when the program's airing. And they can dial 712-432-0075. And the access code to listen to the program, and if you don't have a computer, is 318-116-pound. Again, the call in, this is for your friends who don't have computers and say, I can't listen. You can give them this and they can call in and listen. Again, the telephone number just to listen while I'm on the air is 712-432-0075. And the access code is 318-116-pound. Okay, so that's what I wanted to tell you about that. Now let's go back to Lucita's question. Okay, so it's interesting because she's not really political, but she is political. She has some very interesting ideas, although I'm not 100% clear on what they all are. But what she was doing is she was listening to the program. And what's great about it is when you listen via the telephone, you can put your cell phone on speaker and listen while you're driving if you can. Anyway, what she would like is to ask the Akashic Record Master Teachers and loved ones the definitions of the word conservative and liberal in its current usage in America in the areas of lifestyle, religion, and politics. And so what she's asking for is a divine definition to bring more balance and unity. And I think that's a very interesting question. So the records are now open because I opened them before the show. And again, if you're tuning in for the very first time, this program is about the Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. But it's even bigger than just you as an individual. The Akashic Records hold all information since the beginning of time. They hold every thought, word, and deed. So whether you're trying to expand your creativity or understand what it felt like to be on the Sermon on the Mount or what it would felt like to witness that, or if you're out there and you really want a definition as it relates to you, what you want to do, what you do is open up your personal Akashic Records and go ahead and ask that kind of question. Now, that's why I was saying thank you to everyone, because we did level one classes where you learn how to access your own Akashic Records in the San Diego and Portland areas. And we're going to do that again here in Cleveland in August. And I've got something else I want to tell you about what's coming up in August that is so fabulous. You won't be able to believe it. It's just amazing. But I'm going to get to that in a moment. Anyway, I've been taught and I teach people how to access their soul's Akashic Records consciously. So you don't have to go into trance. You don't have to memorize anything. You don't have to know how to meditate. You don't have to close your eyes. In fact, we ask you not to close your eyes, because what you want to do is stay present, awake and aware, so you can ask your question out loud and journal the answer as it comes from the Akashic Record Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones. And so the question is that we're about to ask the Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones is, what is the current definition in the present time in the United States of America as it relates to the words conservative and liberal from the areas of lifestyle, religion, and politics? And we're asking for a divine definition to bring more balance and unity. Okay, so the Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones would first like to define liberal. And liberal is is a state or of the opinion and belief and what I'm hearing is one for all and all for one. And the reason that's important is liberals are very much the way that this, the construct of what the master's teachers and the loved ones are saying, liberals are very much about everyone helping each other. And they're also, and that's not to say the conservatives aren't, but there's a different flavor to the liberal attitude. And the best way to explain what they're saying, well, for the, what they're saying is, because I don't interpret this, and I don't want you to think that I'm interpreting it. What they're saying is that from a liberal point of view, is that a liberal is someone who is very interested in helping the downtrodden, is interested in helping those who don't have much, is interested in bringing everyone up to a more equal status. It's not that they're not about wealth, and it's not that they're not about entrepreneurial and being an entrepreneur, and it's not even that they're not about big business. But what they are saying is that for those who have a lot, they need to really share with those who don't have it. And so the liberal is one who has the desire. And what I'm hearing is the liberal has the desire to feed the world, and they want to feed the world, and they want to do it so that it's a win-win situation for everyone. And they want to help everyone. And they are not opposed to asking each other, the government, or whoever is able to help those less fortunate. They are, and what they're showing me and they're saying is Robin Hood. So if you were to think of Robin Hood, that would be the liberal. Now, from a conservative point of view, the definition of conservative is the conservative has more of a, it's not that they're not compassionate, they have more of a, they have a different, okay, so here's the other thing is what they're saying is that liberals want to empower those less fortunate by helping them move forward, and they are more readily willing to help a person move forward without asking for anything in return as long as they do well. With a conservative, the conservative opinion is that they are also interested in empowering others to do well. However, they require more of an effort on the other person's part. They're more from a an equal point of view. Their idea of the conservatives are also want to help people, but they are less likely to want government to help them rather than individuals helping themselves and then individuals helping other individuals. It's really more of a private type of empowerment. They're also, and conservatives, what they're showing me is conservatives keep their cards closer to their vest. They are more likely to want smaller government, but a government that empowers its people to do more, However, even though the government is smaller and they want to empower people with more dollars, the individuals, the problem is the intention is good, but the way it works is that in both areas, both conservative and liberal, the intentions are right. It's the groups or the government itself, or the administrations, if you will, that are comprised of people who have different ideas of what their definitions are. Now, I know that seems like a little bit of a loosey-goosey kind of a definition, but the reality is that each person, there is not one definition for a liberal. There is not one definition for a conservative, because people are very much a mixture of both. And there are certain liberals that feel very conservative when it comes to different parts of government. And there are conservatives that are much more lenient when it comes to other parts of government. So it's very hard to pinpoint an absolute, because you're dealing with human beings. And when you're dealing with human beings, you're dealing with not only their opinions of today, but you're also dealing with the opinions that they have adopted over the years. And they have, and belief systems they have either experienced, observed, or heard about that they have now taken to be their own. So the idea here is that the political aspect of life on planet Earth, or at least in the United States, is undergoing a huge shift. And it's undergoing a huge shift all over the world. But there are new paradigms, new platforms that are being created that are going to shift the way we as a country, as a people, not only view government, but view the ideas of conservative and liberal. There is, and again, we don't necessarily predict futures, but what I'm hearing is that there will be, out of necessity, a blending of the philosophies for survival. So I am not political. I have no idea what that means. But for you folks that are political, hopefully you know what that would be. Okay. And here's a very interesting question. The question is, would you say that Jesus was a liberal or a conservative? That's very interesting. That would be very interesting. So I'm not going to answer the question. So we would like to know from the masters, teachers, and loved ones, would you say that Jesus was a liberal or a conservative? And what I'm hearing is he was a liberal. He would be considered a liberal because he tried to help so many people. Again, not that conservatives didn't, but I don't have an opinion on this. I don't want to get involved. Maybe this is a hot topic and we shouldn't have been. But the reality is that they're saying that his thought process at the time was that of a liberal. So there's either good news or not so good news, and that's what they have to say. And the interesting thing about our life here on planet Earth, especially here in the United States, is that there's so many people who are experiencing so many people who are experiencing a culture shock with what they have worked all their lives to build up to, and now are losing things that they never thought they would lose. They are having to ask for help from those they never expected to ask for help from. And this whole concept of the economy and what greed has done to this economy, and not just the American economy, but worldwide, is it has been like a boulder running down the mountain. And it's as it rolls down the mountain, it's collecting a lot of moss, and it's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And as it collects more moss is collected. And as this is collected, what was supposed to be a fairly nice sized boulder we're looking at something that is huge. And the reality is the core of the boulder has not changed. It's all the illusion of the moss all over it that has created the largeness in what we see. And so what we all have to do is go to our core and cut through the moss that we have come to believe or to see. Now, for those people who are losing their homes, for those people who have no jobs, it does good to pray, but it does even more for you to become creative. And I say that in a very knowing way. There are many businesses out there that are having to close up shop. But the time for creativity is now. The time for you to really get clear about what it is that you truly would love to do and to try to figure out how to make money with it is now. Because there aren't any jobs that you may feel qualified for, you must create your own opportunity. You must come together with either friends, families, or someone that you trust, and you must figure out a way to create your own opportunity. There was a time, I'm being told to share this with you, where I did what they call outplacement counseling. And what was clear, this is actually in the late 90s, mid to late 90s. It's right before I started going, well, actually, it was mid 90s. And there was a lot of people getting what they call downsized, if you'll remember. And those individuals that fared well and that survived are the ones that were able to get real creative about what they truly wanted. And get creative about how to create your own opportunity. And so one of the things that I used to do is help people not only create their resumes, but also help them contact the companies and get past the gatekeepers so that they were able, in the mid-90s, voicemail was there, but it was not where it is now. And so the key is getting people not only to return your phone calls if you're in the job market, and that can be very debilitating because you're talking to nothing but machines. And so now it's absolutely key that you begin to be creative and create your own opportunities. If you're over 45, if you're over 50, it's time for you to use this time as a way of creating a brand new life and get creative about what you truly want to do to create your own opportunities. It's time for you to get creative and start believing in yourself in a way that you never have before. And you have to look at that when you were laid off or let go or downsized or the company closed, it is an opportunity for you to step forward into your strength. Realize too that losing a job after being in the same company for years is like a death, and it's okay to grieve it. You need to grieve it. But the ones that you really need to get creative with are the ones that seem to have opportunities limited. And it's those people that need to get creative about what they truly want to do and use that creativity to motivate them in a way they've never been motivated before. And if you need some help with that, that's the time to call in. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the number again for you to give a call. It's 415-762-1161. Let's call in. Let's get creative about what you can do to create a new life for yourself, to create new, if not employment opportunities, income opportunities. Let's just play with it. Let's see what we can get for you. Okay? Just give it a shot. Just give it a shot. Give a call in and let's see what you would truly love to do. Now, there are people out there, for example, that love to work with animals and they want to understand how they can better work with animals in a way that would be profitable for them. And so what is important is when you're looking at working with animals, you want to look at what is missing that you know an animal needs. It's about getting creative and looking for the hole that's not being filled. So if you're sitting there saying, you know, I wish they had a, or if only they had a, whether it's with an animal or just life in general, this is the time to really look at that. Now, I'm going to give you an idea, and I've got to actually talk to a plastics company about this. But one of the things is, you know, waterbeds are not that in the rage like they used to. But when they were, I would always break my nails when I tried to scoop it, the sheet into the bottom of the waterbed mattress. One of the things that I used to say is, I wish there was a nail guard that had an extension on it that I could actually scoop the waterbed mattress into the sheet so I wouldn't break my nail. Because if you've ever had a waterbed, you have to pull that mattress up, and it can be very heavy because it's filled with water, and then tuck in your fitted sheet. And I never was in a position to actually have to go and look for an extra income like that. But boy, if I knew somebody who was a designer, I know exactly what I want, and I know exactly how it could actually help people's nails if they had a waterbed. Whether or not there's a big calling for it now is a different story. So Mary emailed another question. We're back on to a little, I guess, I'm not sure if this is political or not, so I'm just going to read the question. The question is, I recently read that the definition of a fundamentalist, not necessarily religious, but anything that's fundamental, is someone who has found their answers and are not looking for anything else, nor would they accept any new philosophy. What would be the new definition regarding from the Akashic Records as to a fundamentalist? Why would you think there would be a new definition? I guess that's the next question I would ask. That would be a Donna question. So we're going to ask the master teachers and loved ones, is there a new definition for a fundamentalist? And B, what would it be? And so what I'm hearing is the word fundamentalist is the definition. That those people who believe that they are a fundamentalist in anything have gotten their information from being very fundamental on the subject, that they have drawn their definitions from what is already created that is absolutely fundamental, and what I'm hearing is there's no wiggle room. It is the way it was stated, the way it was stated. And so a fundamentalist is a person who takes things from a very fundamental point of view, and it has a rigid way of thinking about it. That is the definition. However, these definitions are not meant to exclude anyone. They're not meant to hurt anyone's feelings. They're not meant to insult anyone. The idea here is that for whatever reason, these definitions are important to you folks who are asking them. But what the master's teachers and loved ones are saying is that isn't it better that we look at what's similar to each other rather than what's different? And so it would be important, whether you're a liberal, a conservative, or a fundamentalist, to look at what is similar in your neighbor who possibly doesn't share the viewpoints that you currently do. So you may want to extend, if you're a fundamentalist, you may want to extend a hand to the liberal, or vice versa, because you could learn a lot. You don't have to agree on everything. But clearly, the way that we're going to survive is that if we can actually move into understanding our differences and looking past them. Because nothing heals better than love. And no one says that we have to agree with everyone in order to love them. We have to love them because they are a part of the divine as we are. And so it's very important that we start looking at the sameness of people. What makes us the same, not what makes us different. And to look at our own lives to see where is our balance, where is it off balance. And where it's off balance, we need to be honest enough with ourselves to move into a space of compassion to help bring us back to balance. It's important. It's important that we see our sameness, not our differences. Because when we start appreciating each other without judgment, and we live in a judgment-free society, all of a sudden, things will become very balanced. And the hatred will be eliminated. And when the hatred is eliminated, the joy begins to emerge. And as the joy emerges, we truly become one. And then there's no reason, and there's no reason for any type of, there's no reason and there's for any type of labels. And so we have another question from Mary. You're full of questions tonight. Thank you, Mary. So Mary wants to know if the Akashic Records can allow you to talk to the animal so the animal would be able to tell you what his desires, hurts, or needs were. Absolutely. That's the whole point of being able to open up the records of your animal to find out how you can best serve them, what they need from you, and what their needs are, but from a point of view that helps you connect in a tighter and more loving way. In fact, one of the things I think we might do is, and I think this is going to be fun. I'll tell you why. All right, I'm going to propose something for next week. Next week, we're going to have the whole show is going to be devoted to opening up the Akashic Records of your pets. And what we're going to do is here's what you have to do. In order to be able to get the permission of your pets, you need to ask your pet if you have to ask them, is it okay if Donna Fox opens your Akashic Records and is able to communicate with you what you need from me, and or what's going on, or how you feel, or whatever you want to know, you ask your pet. Now, here's the way you're going to find out if, in fact, this animal will communicate with you. If you're petting this wonderful little pet or big pet, whatever, and you ask, I'm going to give you an example of what happened with a couple of my cats. First first cat was Tiger. Tiger was 19 years old when she died, and one day she was right on my side. She was actually on my left side, and I was petting her, and her head, she was like on my thigh with her head at the end of my thigh, and I was just petting her on the side, and I scratched her little head, and I mean was, you know, giving her like a nice scratch behind the ears, and I said, "Hey, Tiger, would it be okay if I opened your Akashic records?" And she meowed, and I said, "It's okay." And she turned her head. She turned her head back towards me, and I said, "Is it?" And I looked her right in the eye, and I said, "Is it okay if I open your Akashic records?" And she was still staring at me. She looked back towards the front. She looked back at me, and she got up and she jumped off. I took that as a no. Because if she wanted me to open her records, she would have stayed on my lap so I would have been able to do it. So I took that as a no. Now, my other cats, I had two other cats. One was named Katie, and one was named Allie. And they were sisters. They were beautiful black and white cats. Katie was a long hair, and Allie was a short hair. And now, Allie was a big girl. She was about 18 pounds of cat. And Katie was all fur, so she didn't have the heavy body, but she had lots of fluff on her. And both these cats love the Akashic records. And every time we would have a level one class in my house, they would both come sit in the middle, or they would get up on the couch and they would climb over people, and they would sit down next to the ones they wanted to pet or have be petted by, or the one that was hurting, or if the one or somebody, they were healing cats. And so if somebody was having something they were processing and they were feeling that they needed some extra support, one or the or both of these cats would come over and literally climb right on top of them or right next to them and stay there until the person finished processing, and then they'd walk to the next person. So we would have a level two, and I would call Kate and Allie, and I, yes, if you remember that, I did not name them. That's the way they came to me. Anyway, I would call Kate and Allie, and I would say, "Hey, Kate and Allie, we're going to open records now. Do you guys want your Akashic records open?" And these cats would just come running. I would take that as a yes. And so the group would open their Akashic records, and they would talk to them, and it would be great. Now, so when we do the level two, what will happen, you know, and when I was talking to you about San Diego and the animals, when we go to the zoo or the wild animal park, that's exactly what's going to happen. We will connect with the eyes of the animal. Let's say it's a wolf or a horse. And we will look at the horse and we will say, "Hello, I would like to open your Akashic records. Is that okay with you?" And actually we'll try and find the name of this animal. And because you always need a current legal name for whether it's a human being or the animal or the land to open up. And if the animal comes towards us, or if the animal just stays where they're at, then we will take that as a yes. If they walk away, we will take that as a no. And then we will go through the procedure of how to open the animal's records. And so this is something that I could easily do, and we could really have a wonderful time next week, okay? So here's what I need from you. I need you to email me pictures of the pets you would like to have me open their Akashic records based on them saying yes. And I need their current legal name. So if you would just send me a picture of them via email, and you're going to send that to info@akashicwisdom.com. And what I need is the pet's current legal name, a picture of the pet, your current legal name as the owner, and your question about the pet. And so next week is going to be Akashic Records and Pets. So that would be on July 25th. We're going to open up the records of the pet. Okay? And we may have some help, or I may do it myself. Depends on who's available. But if that's of interest to you, I will start collecting email pictures and questions this week. So you can start emailing those pictures and questions to, again, info@akashicwisdom.com. Okay, we've got another question. So And if you have any questions about that, about what's entailed or you missed this, again, you can have people send those in, but I want to see the picture. And oh, and by the way, the animal needs to be alive on this planet now. It's not so anybody who's passed, I can't open up the Akashic records of the animal who's passed because you can't get their permission. So they have to be alive on the planet now, and they have to be with you. So you need to be their guardian right now so that you can ask them in present time. Okay? Now, and I have to take your word for it that you did and that you're going to stay in the integrity and say yes if they said yes, and that you won't send it in if they don't, if they say no, because that's just not kosher. Okay? All right, so we have another question. We have about 10 more minutes left on the show. And the question is, could you address the fears of starting a new life when over 45, feeling it is too late? Is it more difficult versus being 25 years old? That's a great question, absolutely wonderful question. And here, with the master's teachers and loved ones want you to know, is that there are life questions that you understand and know at 45 that you couldn't possibly know at 25. There are skills and abilities that you have in working with people at the age of 45 or older that you couldn't possibly have at 25. And so what is important at the age of 45, 50, 60, or even 70 or more is about discerning what brings you happiness. And it's also about getting clear about what is your fear. Now, here's the other piece. People who are 25 are just afraid of failing as those who are 45 or more. The difference is that at 45, you feel like it's your last chance. And the ones when you're 25, they feel like it's their last chance, even though they have many chances. So that's the same. But the difference at 45 is at this point, you already have failed a few times. You know what that feels like. It's not going to be new. And if you've never failed and all of a sudden you find yourself in a very precarious position, you're just learning a new lesson. The reality is that at 45, you're so much better prepared for life. The only difference is that you can no longer rely on companies or corporations to pay your way. You must find your own opportunity. And if there was ever a time that a conservative really understood what being a conservative is about when it comes to empowering themselves to stand on their own two feet and move forward, it's when you try to start a new life when you're over 45. Because when you're over 45, there is really no one to help you. There's no one giving you a handout. The government's not helping you because you're too young. And if you're past unemployment, you have to create your own opportunity. And this is the biggest opportunity is that if you don't start believing in you, no one else can. You have to model the belief in yourself more than ever. And you have to look at the tools that you have that allow you to do that. Because you have many tools. You have many tools in your toolbox that help you become a powerful, talented being. And what it is you can no longer afford to be afraid. And if, in fact, you've hit yourself a point where you don't want to be assertive, or you don't know how to be assertive, or you don't know how to sell your services, then it's time that you learned. And the way you learn that is by going to the library and reading some sales books. You go to the library and you read about how to become assertive in a way that's helpful. It's about doing the research that you need to do that's going to help you get to where you want to be. If you don't know how to market, you go get a book and learn how to market yourself. If you don't know how to talk to people and sell your services, you go and you get a book and you learn how to do that. And why? Because if you don't, there's nobody going to do it for you. Everything, by the way, in this world is all about sales. There's not a minute that goes by that you're not selling yourself to somebody. Whether you're trying to sell an idea to your kid, or you're selling an idea to a client. Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. This is not about selling in a bad way. But sales is helping people make decisions about what they truly want before they know they want it. What you're doing is you're looking out for people, and you're helping them make a decision by pointing out what's best for them. The difference is when you're in a new age work or light work, you really are. You really do mean it. You are coming from your heart. You really do want to help them for the highest good. And not, because some salespeople don't really care, but nothing against salespeople. But the reality is, whether you're selling your kid on something, again, or you're talking to a client about a new supplement that would help them, it's sales. If somebody wants to talk to you about what you do, you want to bring forth the best way you can. So one of the best ways to figure that out is to get a sales book on creating a 10-second commercial, what they call in sales an elevator speech. It's how you're going to explain what you do as you pass someone, you know, or standing in an elevator. An even shorter one is an escalator speech that you can actually say it to someone as you're passing them on the escalator. So it can only be about 10 or 15 tops, 30 seconds long. Because if you're talking about what you do for more than 30 seconds, you've lost them. Their eyes glaze over and it's too much for them to compute. Unless, of course, they've interrupted you and asked a question. Because as soon as a person here's what you have to say and ask you a question, they are interested in what you have to do and what kind of work you do and what you can offer them. And so it's very important that the way to really start over again is to look at the tools and the abilities and the gifts that you already have. And then look at the things that you need to learn about that you don't have. And then get busy and go and learn them. Because, you know what? It's not going to change. 3 years from now, if you don't do it, you're still going to be sitting there wondering how to start out. 5 years from now, and all of a sudden, you'll be over 60 and over 70. And you'll wonder what happened to your life. Don't worry about what happened to your life. Start it now. I think Mark Twain was the one that said, in 20 years, you're going to look back, you're going to look back and regret what you didn't do more than celebrate what you did do. But at 45, it's not about 20 years. It's about 5 years. Or if it's 50, you just have to start taking yourself by the bootstraps and moving forward. So I hope that answered your question. Because you have a lot of gifts. You have to work on what you don't have to learn how to do what you don't want to do. It's about gathering, really, about gathering testimonials for those who are light workers. It's about, if you don't have a website, going up to GoDaddy or Vistaprint or something like that and getting some kind of website that you can advertise from. Or go onto Facebook and put up a Facebook page. That's free. But it's about learning about all the things you don't know and how to promote yourself. And that's how you start out again. So again, I hope that helped you and answered your question. It's now time to end the show. We're a minute out. So next week is Akashic Record Animal Week. So send in the pictures of your animals, scan them, and email them to me at info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom.com. Send me your questions, your name, your pet's name, and your question, and their pet's picture. And I don't care if the pet's a turtle or a terrier or a horse or a bull. You could live on a farm and you're having a hard time with a bull who doesn't want to, I don't know, whatever bulls do. You could have a cow that's not giving proper milk. Whatever your situation is, let's give it a shot and see what the animal wants and how we can best support it. And oh, by the way, if you would also include your phone number, so if I have any questions, I can call you directly. Okay? And if you have any questions, you can call me directly once I get off the air and tomorrow and all week at 216-691-1233. I'm back in Cleveland, and you can get me at that number at 216-691-1233. If this is of interest to you, also email me. I'll send you a bunch of information on the workshops that are coming up. And I go where I'm called. So if you have a group that you'd like me to speak to, have prayer will travel. And I will pretty much crisscross the country. So I want to thank you all for listening. I hope you found benefit. Thank you for your great questions, Mary and Lucita. And so I'm going to close the records of this Akashic Wisdom Internet radio show. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of all these wonderful beings of light that are listening to this show, both live and recorded. We thank you for your healing information, wonderful masters, teachers, and loved ones. And we ask that all those listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on July 18th, 2010, by saying amen. Amen, amen. The records are now closed, if you will all join me in saying amen. Good night, everybody. Have a great week, and get those letters in or those pictures of your animals in, and let's talk to the animals next week. Okay, great. Love you all. Bye-bye.